Good morning. This morning's Bible reading is from Genesis chapter 11, verses 27 to 32. This is the account of Terah's family line. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was childless because she was not able to conceive. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the father of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran.
Thanks, Harrison. Okay, so we've started a new series, which is dealing with disorientation, how life throws us some things that we're not necessarily ready for. So we're going to deal with some stuff where often life is okay, and something happens to kind of knock us off track. What do we do in those moments? Where is God in those moments where we feel like we've been knocked off the track? So this morning, I was kind of disoriented. Last night, somebody in our house had a very big bath, and we have solar, right? So because it's been sunny, you turn the solar heater off. It's been raining, though, and so we didn't turn it back on. Somebody had a bath last night. This morning, the shower was cold. That was disorienting. It was quite... What do you do in that moment? Also, on Thursday last week, I get a call, and Rhonda said, we've had an accident. So we had a car crash, or Rhonda had a car crash on Thursday. Car's okay, they're okay, everything's all right. But it's disorienting. You get a call like that, and you kind of got, okay, you think, what do I do here? Something happens to kind of knock you off track. Life presents us with these moments where we're disoriented. We kind of feel like we're going in this direction. Something happens to knock us off track. I'll give you a... So we're oriented. Something happens to disorient us. And then we have to find some reorientation. I'll go back to that diagram. But that's the diagram we're going to look at during this series. I want you to have a look at this picture. It's a meme. Who is that person? Do we know who that person is? It's Jesus, right? How do we know it's Jesus? He's kind of the robe, the beard and the long hair kind of gives him away, right? He's in a different setting than you'd normally see him. It's the modern day world. He's standing outside a building. He's got his arms up. What's he doing? He's saving a parking spot, right? Who's he saving it for? For me, of course. Jesus knows I'm in a hurry. He knows I'm late. He knows I've just got to get to the shops to get that item. Right? Jesus knows all these things. So while the other ordinary people are driving around looking for a parking spot near the entrance to the shopping center, I know he's going to save me a parking spot, right? I know he's at work saving the best spots for me. Maybe he does that for you too, I'm not sure. It's a very comforting meme. The idea that follow him, he'll sort everything out. You'll even get a good parking spot. Actually, I'm getting a few skeptical looks. People are kind of saying, is that true? Hasn't that been the case for you? Don't you think it works that way? I mean, if he doesn't get the good parking spots, why else would you follow? What's in it for me if I'm not going to get the best parking spot? How do I process when I don't get a good parking spot? So in our series, Dealing with Disorientation, we face times where we don't get the good parking spot, right? Things don't work out as we expect. And of course, there are far worse things in life that can happen than not getting a good parking spot. How do we deal with this? So I want to explore a story from Abram's life. Well, they may have shared this story in a different context, but he experiences significant disorientation in his life. What happens once he experiences that? How do they respond to disorientation? So in the text today, here's the first part of it. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans in the land of his birth. This was not a Jesus finds the parking spot moment. You read through the story, you see God doing amazing things for people, but you also find people encountering significant difficulties. So Terah, Abram's father, experiences a tragedy. There's a traumatic event in his life. You know, one of the greatest difficulties in life is probably a parent having to bury their own child. Now, some people face that in life. It's a very difficult thing. Maybe if you face that, you know, I pray that God will continue to comfort you in that space. But this story highlights the confronting nature of the event. The translation says, Haran died while his father was still alive. But the wording in Hebrew actually says he died in his father's face, right up close. It was a personal, tragic, up-close event, very graphically said. And it highlights the impact that this has upon Terah's life. You know, whatever background we're from, things happen we can't prepare for in life. Whilst not all of us experienced a loss like this, we will have experienced losses in some form. Jesus saves the parking spot doesn't really cover what life is like. We've certainly received God's blessing as believers. And we hear stories where God has protected people and watched over them, remarkably. But history would tell us that as believers, we're not immune to struggle. We're not immune from difficult things. In some cases, it's your faith that causes you to struggle. So when a loss like this occurs, it has an impact. People respond in different ways to their grief. Generally, over time, we deal with the grief. We have sort of like it lessens over time, although it may take a long time to deal with significant grief. We may not get over the loss, but we gradually learn to deal with it over time. Mostly the grief fades with time. But sometimes grief stays with us. It continues on in our lives. It can be with us for a long time. Now, we should remember this is the story of Abraham. This is a guy who's right at the center of God's purposes. This is not someone on the edge of things. This is someone through whom God is going to bring his blessing to the world. In this family, right at the center of God's purposes, there is this tragedy. There's not an immunity from difficulty, even in this family. And I would contend this examples all through the Bible and the experience of history says we're not immune from difficulty as believers. Faith does not automatically exclude you from going through difficult things. I think it's also important to say there's no blame attached here. It doesn't say this is anyone's fault. It just states Haran died. Abram's brother it is, Terah's son. It was no one's fault. There's not as often when things happen, people feel like it's somebody's fault. It was my fault. Some things are nobody's fault. They just happen, and we will not know the meaning of these things until eternity. It will be clear then, I think, but the answers may not come in this life. So the loss of Haran brings disorientation to Terah and his family, which includes Abram. Let's see how the story works out. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Lots of good things. Weddings, children, all sorts of good things are happening in the family. And then you read in the last verse, now Sarah was childless because she was not able to conceive. In the midst of the blessings, there is this difficulty. Sarah's not able to conceive. The family experiences barrenness. That's not easy. Rhonda and I, it was 12 years before we were able to have our first child. That was not easy. Looking back, it seems to have faded the grief, but at the time it was very real and upfront. So here there's a family right at the center of God's purposes, experiencing blessing, but also experience struggle. The family is not immune from difficulty. Now, here's an interesting aside. When you look through the generations of Abram, Isaac, Jacob, what's the promise? The promise is you're going to have many children. God's going to bless the whole world through you. There's going to be all sorts of children coming from you. And yet the first generation, barrenness, barrenness. They all have problems having children. It's really interesting when God makes a promise, very often a challenge comes to the promise. And the very nature of the promise of having all these children is challenged by people not being able to have children. That's just an interesting reality. If we're going to walk with the Lord, we have to deal with the difficulties. We walk through these things. The biblical stories regularly have people processing difficult circumstances. Let's see what happens. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldees to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years and he died in Haran. Okay, so the family initiates a journey. It seems to be Terah, the father of Abram, who initiates the journey. He takes all the family. He's about to move 1,000 kilometres. That's only for us a day's drive, right, in Western Australia. For them, this is many, many weeks of travel. Here's the map. And so they're going from over on this side, which is Babylon, Ur of the Chaldees over here, modern-day Iraq, and they're going to travel across where the red line is, all the way over to the Promised Land, to Israel. But they're not going to go via the red route because it's all desert, so nobody goes that way. They all go up the river system. They travel up the river systems where there's roadhouses, food and stuff like that. And they go up that way. They've got to go right up to the top and then come back down again. That's the way they have to go. If you read Acts chapter 7 in the New Testament, it says that God had already spoken to Abram when he was in Ur of the Chaldees. Then the tragedy occurs, and the family, still led by Terah, sets off for Canaan. So they have to go right across the desert. That's the land that God had told them to go to. So they said, let's do this. Let's try and fulfill God's purposes. They're following the direction that God has called them in. They set out for Canaan. Ultimately, they want to get to Canaan. They don't go across the desert, but they go up top and they end up in a place called Haran. Haran is right up the top in the middle. They don't make it to Canaan. They stop in Haran. The journey pauses. And it seems as though the journey is over. They stop there. And it's every indication that they're there a long time. I think it's more than 20 years in Haran. It's not just a pit stop. So God said go to Canaan, but they end up in Haran. Somewhere along the way, something's gone wrong. Let's go back, reminder of this text. Go back to the next one. So Terah took his son Abram, his grandson, son of Lot. They take them all to go to Canaan, but when they came to Haran, they settled there. That'd be like reading someone's Facebook post who says, we're moving to Albany tomorrow. 3 weeks later, we've settled in Bunbury. That's exactly what's happened. We're going to Albany, that's where we're going to end up, but we've ended up settling in Bunbury. And what's the question that gets raised by that? Why are you now settle in Bunbury when you had every intention of going to Albany? Why didn't you get to Albany? Something's happened on the journey causing them to stay in Bunbury, or in this case, Haran. When you see a tension like that in the story where someone heads out this way and they end up somewhere else, something's going on in that space. Look deeper. You know, sometimes in the Old Testament, the names of places are significant. For example, Bethlehem. What does the word Bethlehem mean? Anyone know? House of bread. Interesting, Jesus is born, the bread of life is born in the house of bread, the place that which is called the house of bread. Fully understandable, they don't go across the desert. They go up a river system and they get stuck in Haran. I wonder if you picked up the connection from the story. The word Haran, the name of the place, is the same as the name of the son that died. This is significant in the story. It's not a coincidence. Explains why they are now in Haran when they wanted to go to Canaan. Terah experienced the loss of his son, Haran. They get to Haran and they get stuck there. Now, in English, the names are identical. In Hebrew, Jesus talks about jots and tittles in the law. There's a slight difference in one of the letters, but pretty much the same. And I think it's meant to be the same. It's meant to evoke a memory. When Abram gets to Haran, he's thinking about Haran. And he stops there. I think he's re-experiencing the grief that he experienced when he lost his son. He's not processed the grief. And the name of the town brings up his son, which causes him to re-experience the tragedy. So the journey to Canaan comes to a halt in this place. And if you think about it, this is the journey of Abram, the one through whom God is going to promise to bless all nations. The journey of God to bless the world comes to a halt in Haran. I think again the story says we are not immune from struggle. Even if we're in the center of God's purposes, we are not immune to difficulty. And they can impact us deeply. Even this family, right at the center of God's purpose, trauma impacts them. They end up in Haran, which is not a bad place, but it's not the place that God had intended them to be. The issue intensifies. Terah dies in Haran. And I think the story is telling us he was never able to process the grief of losing his son. Tragedy has gone with him and with the family, even Abram's family, even a family that's close to God. Even in the middle of God's purposes, on the way to the promised land, Abram and Sarah, the bearers of the promise, end up somewhere else in Haran. And that's the end of the chapter. It's not the end of the story, but it's the end of the chapter. The promises of God are on hold in Haran, waiting for something to happen. I think a few things we can say at this point. There's a delay in God's purposes through the grief experienced in the family. Now, depending on your theology, that can be a problematic statement, but I think it's reality. God has plans and purposes for our lives. We sometimes get stuck along the way for various reasons. This is one of the reasons. There are times when we are less effective, less focused, we're not praying much because we're dealing with stuff. God's purposes get put on hold. We get stuck along the way somewhere else other than where God wants us to be. Second, as I mentioned, there's no blame attached. There's nothing about anyone's done the wrong thing. It just tells the story of how the purposes of God are working out. And thirdly, Terah is not the only person who doesn't get to Canaan. Later on, somebody else is not going to get to Canaan. Who's that? Moses. Now, for him, it's because of a rash act, but he's coming from the other direction. He doesn't get to Canaan as well, and there's nothing said bad about Moses. Where does it leave us in our reflection? The tragedies and the difficulties we face have the potential to put God's purposes on hold in our life. The reality. We grieve. It takes time to grieve. We've got to work through that. I think in those moments, God comes alongside us. This is not a blame. It's not saying the purpose is late, you've got to get on with it. I think there's grief, and so God comes alongside us. Jesus is the one who said, if you are weary and heavy laden, come to me, I will give you rest. Maybe you identify yourself in some way in this situation. Maybe God's purposes are on hold in some way. Maybe you're in Haran instead of Canaan. Take heart. God understands grief. He knows how to draw people through situations. The story says they're in Canaan, they're in Haran. There's no condemnation for anyone. It just is. It's waiting for a new time to come. Life happens. The other thing I think we need to say, even though they settle in Haran, this is not the end of the journey. They're there for a significant time, but they're going to move on from there. God remains insistent. He will take them to Canaan, But he understands that they're not there yet. The calling doesn't go away because of the difficulties of life. It might get delayed, but God will patiently and insistently draw us towards the destination he wants us to be in. So here's the graphic of the situation. We start the story where everything's great. They're in the place they want to be. God is good all the time. That's the sort of statement. And it's great when we feel like that. Then something happens to disrupt us. The shower's cold. Somebody criticizes us. What happens when life is good? And all of a sudden we get criticized in some way. All of a sudden we think we've lost our equilibrium. We're disoriented. Something goes bad in life. We get disoriented. We get a health crisis. We get disoriented. Is the same God that was good when life was good, can that same God be with us, even though the circumstances are bad, and find a new path out of that, trusting that he's with us, he hasn't left us? It's a bit like the footprint poem. You know, the person looks back on their life, and during the times of struggle, they notice one set of footprints, and they're saying, God, you abandoned me when I was struggling. It was, how come you didn't walk with me? And of course, the answer is, that's when I was carrying you. I was with you and I was carrying you through those times. I'm sure we can identify with this. Terah goes through a disorientation with the passing of his son. Now, he doesn't make it, but the family gets a reorientation that we're going to see what happens to them next. They're going to reorient themselves to God's purposes. The spirituality of the Bible is like this. It doesn't pretend that everything's okay. It says, yes, God is good and there are many good things in life, but sometimes we find ourselves in situations where everything doesn't seem okay. And the question is, can God be there with us? Can we find God's presence even in the midst of the times where things don't seem okay? Can we discover God even in the darkness? Is he the one that can be with us through the valley of the shadow of death? Does he prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies? Does he really work all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose? Does he care for us even when life seems difficult? I think we see this in the life of Jesus. Before his suffering, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. As he goes into the garden, it says he is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He's carrying the burdens of the world. He goes into the time of suffering. He says to the disciples, come pray with me. He's experiencing disorientation, overwhelmed with sorrow. And what happens in the garden? He falls on the ground. And he says, if possible, let this cup pass from me. You realize what he's asking there. This is the mission of God from before the foundation of the world, to rescue humanity, to give his life for the people that he loves. And in the moment when things are becoming difficult, he says, if it's possible, please take this away from me. Imagine what would have happened if God had said, okay, we'd all be lost. If it's possible, take this from me and then surrender, yet not what I will, but what you will. He surrenders, he shares the pain. And I think one of the things we learn is to actually share our pain with God and maybe to share our pain with others as well who can support us. Sometimes we hide our pain. To share our pain and yet be in the place of surrender. God, whatever you want, I trust you. I can find trust in you even in this place. And at the end of the prayer time, it says the soldiers come. They're going to arrest him. Something's happened though in the prayer time because it says, rise, let us go, my betrayer is at hand. So after being overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, entering into the place, the Garden of Gethsemane, and then coming out the other side, ready to face the reality, having surrendered to God and dealt with the difficulty of the circumstance. Not pretended it wasn't there, but faced it and dealt with it and surrendered and found God as his support in that moment. And I think that model is pretty much the spirituality of finding God in the place of our difficulties. We find reorientation in the midst of our struggle. God is with us even when it doesn't feel like it. Here's the next chapter. So in the next chapter, the start of chapter 12 is the promise of God, which we always quote. God is going to bless the world. He's going to do it through the descendants of Abram. He's going to bless them. He's going to make them a blessing. So the promise comes. And then Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. So finally, they get there. The story doesn't end in Haran. It ended for Terah, but not for the family. There's no blame for Terah. The family continues. They find strength to get back on the journey. We see God's purpose being worked out now through many generations. The seeds of faithfulness in one generation are harvested in the next generation. Maybe they were 20 years on this kind of sidetrack in Haran. That's a long time, but it's not a long time for God. Abraham's now 75. Interesting, there's quite a few characters in the Bible who don't get started until after what we would call retirement age. Not all, but some. Interesting also, Haran has not been a place of barrenness. When they set out from Haran, it says they took all the possessions they had accumulated. They'd been blessed. Even in this place, even in this sidetrack, they'd been blessed. And the people they had acquired, the family had increased, the household has grown. Even on this sidetrack, God is still with them and has blessed them. God looks after them there. He gives them these tangible signs of his goodness. The journey recommences. They set out from Haran and they get to Canaan after this long sidetrack. And there's a parking spot waiting for them. No, hang on, scratch that. We are told soon after, the Canaanites are in the land. So there's no parking spot. The Canaanites have got the parking spot. And also, by the way, soon after this, there's a famine in the land. So the idea of the difficulty doesn't go away, but what's going to happen? God is going to be with them. He's going to lead them through the next difficulty and the next one, and he's going to be faithful to them, generation after generation. Sometimes the circumstances in the Bible will be favorable for people. Sometimes they're unfavorable. Sometimes the rains come, sometimes they don't. Sometimes the enemies flee, sometimes they don't. Sometimes the walls fall down, sometimes they don't. The real journey is not about the circumstances. The circumstances will change. There will be feasts and there will be famines. The real journey is discovering that God is with them regardless of the feast or the famine, regardless of the circumstance. They have access to the presence of God, whatever their life is like at the time. They can hear his voice. He's invited them to walk on the journey with them. So in this journey of life, of faith, there will be times of disorientation. We should expect that there'll be times where we don't feel like everything's going well. Times when we question the goodness of God, his wisdom, his care. How could he let this happen? That's normal. It's part of the journey. We may get stuck along the way, but God is always with us. He's deepening our trust. Wrestling with God is not a sense of lack of faith. It's actually trusting him. When we wrestle with him, we can call upon him in our struggle, in our grief, in our circumstance. He'll provide us with strength and encouragement to take the next step. Being stuck doesn't have to make it the end of the road. God is with us even in the disorientation. We can be blessed even in a place like Haran. But ultimately, he wants to take us to Canaan. We can find reorientation, discovering the goodness and the mercy of God, no longer just as an idea, but now as a story, a personal experience that we can say, I've experienced that. God has come through in that way. And we can share that with others. Shall we pray? Lord, in the journey of life that all of us are on, Lord, I pray, if anyone's experiencing disorientation through the circumstances of their life, if there's been a sense of darkness or struggle, Lord, I pray, in that moment, help us know your presence, even in the darkness, that you would lead us through the valley. Thank you, Lord, you led Abram's family through. It was difficult. They experienced loss. We may never know why that loss occurred. But Lord, thank you that you will comfort us and encourage us and travel with us through the things we face. And Lord, ultimately, you will get us to the destination. That we will come to the place you want us to be, ultimately secure and safe with you. In Jesus' name, amen.